This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
So I hung out with some second graders and I played Connect Four with a second grader who beat me. I feel like a second grader and an adult is a good matchup in Connect Four. I'm saying that now, maybe because I lost to a kid who's seven.
It's Mike Shope.
This kid, and I beat him one time, and then we played, and it wasn't like I was just sitting there all day staring at the board, right? I mean, there's no excuse, though. There's no excuse for losing to a seven-year-old at Connect Four.
And the Bulldog.
He had me three different ways at the end, and twice he missed the winning play.
Yeah.
And then a third time, he had another, like, three turns in a row, he had a winning play. And like, how bad a job is that for me? How bad a job is it in Connect Four?
You had three match points in Connect Four.
He had three match points.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
The second time, I'm like, I'm surprised you didn't see that. And I'm sort of giving it to him. And then I make my play, and they're like, oh, he's got another one. I didn't see that at all.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Thanks for hanging with us on this Wednesday. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope is on vacation this week. Nate Geary has been sitting in the last couple of days. Some solo missions the next 2 days after this. Lots of guests to come in and chip in and help us out. We're all looking forward to the Four Nations face-off finale tomorrow. Championship game of that tournament here. 8 o'clock in Boston between Team USA and Team Canada. And if you missed it already earlier today, I mean, Zach just mentioned it again in the update, but Tage Thompson is on call. He's on his way to Boston, according to Emily Kaplan of ESPN, in case there is illness / injury. And, like, I don't know. I have no idea what actually is going on the ground there. I know how guys sounded today. Matthew Tkachuk, like, I'm fine, I'm playing. My brother would be fine, he's playing. Austin Matthews, I'm fine, I'm playing. A couple of those guys, Matthew Tkachuk and Matthews, both missed the game on Monday, and Brady Tkachuk left it in the first period or after the first period after crashing into a goalpost. So we'll see if there's illness or injury that forces Thompson into the lineup. I think it would take two of the guys I just mentioned or anyone else not being able to go tomorrow for Thompson to get in. The way the rules work, you can't just substitute guys in that are called in like this. They are injury replacements, and so someone has to be injured or, you know, sick, not able to play. Anyway, so that's that. A lot of talk about that tomorrow on this show, I'm sure of it. We started off today talking about all in versus, you know, what using the picks and staying the course and all that. And I think, Nate, you made such a good point, I think, talking about Myles Garrett and, like, that trade. Like, for me, I've said quite a few times to Mike, and I'll say it to you again, I make a trade for Myles Garrett, I give up a 1 and a 1 and a 3, or a 1 and a 1 and a 2, or a 1 and a 1 in Gregory Rousseau, which is like my dream scenario. Like, I have to keep one of my assets, but I send Greg Rousseau away because I'm not going to pay him a new contract if I'm getting Myles Garrett. So maybe there's a companion move if Cleveland doesn't want him. Anyway, I make that trade, and I think the way a lot of us have been talking about that sort of move, Max Crosby meets the same criteria closely enough. He's never been the defensive player of the year, but you get the point. Impact, edge rusher, game wrecker type guy. I think Garrett is a cut above. He's a little older, but cut above Crosby, in my opinion. But anyway, that feels like an all-in move, right? I'm trading away cheap, relatively speaking, assets, draft picks, rookies, and eventually second and third year players on rookie contracts who I need to contribute because, you know, my salary cap is, you know, pretty dicey at the top, led by, you know, a quarterback who's almost certainly going to get a new contract this offseason, I would say. So is that actually all in? And, you know, if I make that trade, I'm just going to fill in the rest. I might even just keep a lot of what I had last year the same. My safeties are my safeties. Maybe I re-sign Rasul Douglas. If I don't re-sign Rasul Douglas, irrespective of this point I'm making about all in from earlier, I'm probably just going shopping for a comparable replacement, maybe somebody younger, somebody with more foot speed, but I'm not spending top dollar on a number two corner because I'm going to end up doing that with Christian Benford, who's ready for a new contract as well, and that's going to be a top of the market deal. So I'm not spending a lot there. The point is, I trade for Myles Garrett. To me, that meets the criteria of all in enough, so much so that I'm just going to, I think I'm okay with everything else where it was last year, and there's my difference maker up front. And I like when you objected to this because you could do more. You could go after upgrades elsewhere.
The Myles Garrett trade would signal that they're starting the process of going all in. I think that would be the first step to say, okay, but I think there would have to be corresponding moves. And everyone throws this into the ether. Every time you talk about trading picks, all the picks, and what is the conversation? The Los Angeles Rams. Well, look what the Rams did. Do you want to be the Rams? Well, I'm going to tell you, since McVay's second season, when they had, well, really, McVay's first season, 11 wins, 13 wins, 9 wins, 10 wins, 12 wins, 2 years ago was the 5-win season. And then the last 2 years, 10 wins a pop. Like, the 5-win year, they didn't have Matt Stafford. Like, they probably would have been fine. So, yeah, they decided that a lot of the pieces they went out and got, they traded for Von Miller and Odell Beckham Jr., and then they won a Super Bowl. And then they kind of had a dismantle. I would love to have known.
Jalen Ramsey trade in there, too?
They traded for Jalen Ramsey.
Right.
And then they traded him, got him out.
Divested, right.
They did a all-in, tear-down, back to an NFC championship game. And it's because they've got a great quarterback. And even when they had Goff, like, as long as Josh is there, I think you can press buttons on your roster. And I know it's like every year you want to give yourself a chance. But this was as close to a teardown. Let's be honest, it was a teardown. It was a teardown year. They got rid of 7 starters.
Last year, yeah, right.
It was a teardown offseason. And they went to the AFC Championship game. So this idea that's like, this window, like, oh my God, if they go all in all now, like, I had somebody DMing me. It's like, I love the conversation. I'm just like looking for more like the end, of, like the rooster or the chickens coming to whatever. Damn it. The chickens are coming to.
Chickens will come home to roost.
Is that it? I'm not going to remember the saying. The chickens are coming home to roost. Cripes.
That's a saying from like the 1800s.
Yeah,
not from the water boy.
It's a water boy reference, and it's mama. And you would know if you've watched the movie.
I have taste.
Oh, sure. Yeah. All right. Anyways, I was going to make fun of you more, but it's just not worth it. The conversation.
You make fun of me wearing my Rasmus Dahlin 26 shirt.
No.
Which says, Buffalo, win with us or watch us win. You're going to get a load of that on the Twitch and the YouTube. There's taste for you.
It is.
The shirt was out, like, should have been burned. I love it. I wear it. Holy cow.
Or watch us win.
They're
watching us do something and it's not winning.
Good one, Bulldog. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
Essentially what I'm saying is, like, and the DM was essentially like, I would want the chickens to come home to roost at Josh Allen age 36, not 33.
Good job.
And was like, okay, fair point. How much different is Josh Allen at 33 than he is at 36? Maybe it's dramatic. Maybe at 33, he's still doing what he's doing right now.
Yeah, right.
But
I might tell you the biggest difference might be between 28 and 33.
Yes, I would agree. And 33, the 33-year-old version of Josh Allen and 36-year-old version are likely going to be very similar in that the phasing out of the running is going to happen soon. I think sooner than 33. Mm-hmm. It's already, they've tried to do it. There's going to come a point where they have to do it, and it's not a, let's see if we can get away with, like, eventually he's going to have to be a pocket passer and a selective runner. And I think while he's still an elite-level runner, this is the window to do it. And if you don't get there and the chickens come home to roost, well, then you still got a couple of years. And look what they did when they teared it down in his prime. It was fine. So, like, for me, yes, go trade for Myles Garrett. But then go do more crazy. If you're going to be crazy, go into the deep end. Don't dip your toe in. Don't, we already traded a first. No, if you're going to do it, just be all in. And that's, to me, it's not to say that if they traded for Myles Garrett and did nothing else, I would say, wow, what a failure this is. But I would say, why are you kind of going all in and not just putting the chips in? Do it.
803-0550 is the number. You want to comment on that speech or anything else?
You haven't got any other lines
so far?
Lines from the Waterboy? Feel free to call in and go right over to Bulldog's head.
I still can't believe when you first got there in the first segment of the show today, you were struggling to get chickens come home to roost, a phrasing that I think certainly people my age are familiar with. Again, not from a movie, and like, you just botched it so badly, I had no idea what the hell you were talking about. Like, you did about as bad a job as you could do of getting out like a cliche that's been used 11 billion times.
Whatever.
All right.
Scott is first up this segment. Hi, Scott. Thanks for calling. You're on the air here on WGR. Yeah. Your call has come home to roost, Scott.
Yeah, thank you, because I'm going to pull my roosters out of the chicken coop or whatever the hell is going on with you guys. Listen, this year was supposed to be the rebuild year. We weren't going to win anything. We got rid of seven starters. We were a play away or two plays away from being in the Super Bowl. I don't think wholesale changes are needed. I mean, this team is, you know, things are going to happen because of free agency and trades and whatnot. But I don't know, man.
Let me say this, Scott, before you hang up. How did you feel the same way after 13 seconds?
Probably.
Maybe better, right? I would say probably felt better.
I would say, yeah, you're probably right, yeah.
Took three more years to get back. Just to get past that place of losing in the divisional round.
Right.
So we can say they were one play away last year, but that doesn't take into account, what if the Chiefs go and trade for A.J. Brown? Or something, right? Like, other teams are going to get better. So it's not just that, hey, we'll run it back, or hey, I'll move here, move there, and we will be two plays better next year, because other teams are going to be 20 plays, two wins better than they were last year. So there is the given.
Yeah.
I get your point, but I want to bring myself constantly back to 13 seconds, how I felt. I'm like, we have the best quarterback in the league. This roster is close. Like, we'll be back next year. And they weren't. So it's just the perspective of that, Scott. But I get what you're saying.
Yeah. Scott, I like what you said, because earlier I sort of stumbled into this point, which is, yeah, we look at the Eagles and what they did to the Chiefs. I mean, they ragdolled the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. And so, yeah, I need to do what the Eagles did. Well, not really. I don't need to beat them 44-20. What I need to do is beat them 31-30. Like, I need, like you said, I need a couple of plays. And, like, I know that, like, I'm eager for an impactful player on the defense, seeing what the Eagles did. Like, I'm not trying to talk myself out of going big and going Myles Garrett, or even going way bigger than that, like Nate is talking about, just going all in, like really, really all in, not just sort of kind of all in. Like, that has appeal. I think it's called for with where they are on their timeline. Like, everyone here, Bean, McDermott, Allen, it all makes sense. But I don't need to be the Eagles, right? I'm that close to the Chiefs with whatever flaws we are stating here plainly that the Bills have in the areas they need to improve on. I'm not going to build a team, certainly not in 1 year, that is going to do what the Eagles did to the Chiefs. More than likely, I mean, it's not realistic.
I also I don't want to because I know the media, the national media, everyone, probably Chiefs fans and Chiefs media, is dramatically overreacting to a one game sample size. The Eagles were not the team that we saw in the Super Bowl really at any point in the 2024 season. They were not dominant in really any other game like they were. They probably should have lost to the Rams 2 weeks before at home. So, like, I know they looked unbelievable. They played the best game that they have played as a group all season in the last game of the year. And the Chiefs played the worst game that they have played since Patrick Mahomes became their quarterback outside of the other Super Bowl they lost to Brady. So, like, some of that does matter in this conversation mm-hmm. of super dramatic takeaways from a game where you had two really good teams that are very close look dramatically like further apart than they probably are in reality. And I don't think smart GMs are going to watch that game and say, boy, we are really far away from the Eagles. I don't think the Chiefs feel they're very far away from the Eagles, although the score is indicative of something
day.
Else.
Right, right.
I just think it was the best game and the worst game of each team's season. And sometimes that just happens. It happened at an inopportune time for Kansas City. The Bills had a game this year where they played their worst game. It just happened in the regular season against the Houston Texans. And, you know, I don't want to over-dramatize the performance that the Eagles have, that this is some unbeatable team that nobody's going to be able to beat, because I just don't think that's reality. They lost games this year. So they're not this immovable force because they beat a really good team on a bad day.
Zach is next up. Zach, thanks for calling. You're on the air here on WGR.
Absolutely. What's up, guys? Yeah, you know what? I'm totally ready for them to go all in here, you know, in terms of Garrett, for sure. But beyond that, I just want to see them completely revamp this defense. I was so, you know, I was with everybody. I was loving the turnovers and whatever this past season. But I remember Mike bringing up a point in maybe like November of how much luck can be involved with getting turnovers. And I think you're just playing with so much fire if that's the way your defense is looking to succeed. And I don't think that's, you know, I don't know. I'm not there. I'm not in the building. I don't know what their philosophy was as far as defense for forcing yep. turnovers and that. But if I just think they need to revamp the defense. I'm not trying to say the same thing over and over again, but they need new guys all across that team and people that can make plays, whether how big or small. Because if they go into next year thinking that they're just going to win the turnover battle every week, I don't think they're going to win a lot of games that way, unfortunately. And as good as the offense might be and whatnot, I just think that is no way to live going forward. So I would love for them to take a swing on offense. The problem is I don't know who they can even get that at this point that would make a significant difference outside of maybe, I don't know, Adams. I'm more on the train of keeping Cooper almost at this point if they can get a good deal out of him. But if not, maybe next season they take a swing at a decent receiver, whether it's Metcalf or somebody else that might become available in 26. So, yeah.
All right, Zach, thanks a lot for the call. Yeah, the turnover thing is it is a tough way to live. I mean,
it is.
It kept up really all year. They even won the turnover battle against the Chiefs and lost the game. There was only the one turnover in that game. So there's two parts to that. That's taking care of the ball, and that's somewhat in your control. Of course, someone can punch it out on you, blind strip sack, whatever. But those instances were very much minimized this past year. You know, there are plays that you make and there are plays that you are given, right? Mm. The Mark Andrews drop on the two-point conversion wasn't a turnover, but it saved the day. It preserved the win. That was a play that you were given. earlier in the game, in the fourth quarter, Terrell Bernard punching the ball out from Mark Andrews, that's not luck. Like, you watch that play closely, Bernard is obviously specifically going for the ball, so much so that when he isn't sure he got it on the first swipe, he's coming with his other arm to punch at the ball again, even though it's already on the turf. He doesn't know it yet. But if you watch the slow-mo reverse angle replay of that, you'll see his, whichever arm, I think it's his left arm, coming around after the ball's already out, looking to punch. Like, it's something they're cognizant of. They emphasize it. I don't think they would tell you that it's entirely their philosophy. Like, they're depending on getting takeaways because that's just not a realistic way to live. So, yeah, I think you'd like to be able to force more punts, right?
Yeah.
Because it's tough to have to rely on that as your way to get off the field, I think.
You know, I kind of liked the point, and it brought me to thinking about the mistake the Bills made after 13 seconds, which was spending an offseason building to try to beat the Chiefs, and then they lost to the Bengals. And they've talked about not trying to build your team to beat one sole other team. And I don't think the Bills will make that same mistake this time around, having lost to them because of how close it was. And but I think it's part of the reason why the idea that there are more holes to fill, and I think it was Scott a couple minutes ago that called in, it was like, they were one play away. But, like, I assume the Bengals are still going to come back and be probably a better team if they can, you know, figure their defense out. But the Ravens are still going to be good. You know, that couple plays in that game go different.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I know, it's Lamar Jackson doesn't turn the ball over twice in the first half, and maybe we're talking about, oh man, they can't get over the Ravens, right? And how that just becomes such a, it's hard to look at something and say they were a couple of plays away, so I'm not going to panic, because I don't think being close last year should stop you from wanting to be significantly better. And that's where I want to be. It's like, I want to look at it and say, I would like for them to want to get significantly better than they were last year, because again, last year was them taking a step back talent-wise. And I'm good if they want to take a big step towards who they're trying to be in one offseason. I'm good with it. I'd like them to do it. I'd like them to go all in.
803-0550 is the number. Nate Geary in for Mike Shope. Today, I am the Bulldog. You're listening to WGR.
It's down to a few.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The plays. And when you go back through the film, you just say, gosh, if we had gotten executed that play right there, it continues the drive. We're not punting, or we're not whatever. We're not turning the ball over on downs. One to two plays can change the outcome of a game, which ultimately changes the outcome of a season, and we wouldn't be sitting here. So it sucks. It hurts. But I'm not in the mood of thinking you have to blow it all up. I don't think that's rational.
Calm, cool, collected, steady as she goes.
Tell you, he's not.
F that!
Say he's not concerned about any chickens coming home to roost.
Well, this is you're on a streak. That's
well,
three times in a row.
I remember it.
Correctly.
Then I got it right.
Yeah, yeah.
So
congratulations.
Hopefully, I won't screw that up again in the future.
We're all very proud of you. 803-0550 is the phone number if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Enjoying the calls very much here, so please do feel free to keep them coming. What is this you have just shared on social media that includes somebody's phone number? Because I don't know, like I you know I get like that could be fun, but I don't think I would want complete strangers driving down Elmwood Avenue to have my phone number.
Well, don't be in these guys' fantasy league, I guess, is the moral of this story. So it looks like somebody over at Channel 4 had posted a tweet. It's like, if you've driven down Elmwood Avenue towards Kenmore, it's likely you've already seen this billboard. She had spoke to Josh and his friends to hear the story, but there's a
this is just
billboard.
Some random Buffalonian named Josh, not the Bills quarterback.
Correct.
Okay.
Who came in last place in his fantasy league, and clearly the
penalty.
I was gonna say prize, but penalty for coming in last place was the group put together whatever it cost to throw up a billboard that has a picture of Josh. Underneath says "Roast him" in red, with his phone number, and it says, "Josh sucks at fantasy, 3-11 record." It's awesome. I've seen some, like, you know, real shameful ones where, like, guys got to go to, like, a baseball game with, like, you know, like, weird paint on his, just, like, weird stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
This one is, like, I think both funny and, like, yeah, you know, maybe he's going to get a bunch of text messages from random people, you know, poking him. But, you know, this isn't, like, super, I would think, embarrassing for Josh in the way that I've seen some other penalties. This is good. This should probably be, I'm sure the local billboard company's got to be like, yeah, this is a great idea. Let's go with this some more. But yeah, it's a good penalty.
It's not, I haven't had to change my phone number in a very, 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 very long time. Like, I have the same phone cell phone number that I've had since since I think maybe I've ever had a cell phone.
I think they ran out of 716 numbers, so it's probably for the best.
Is it that hard to change? It's not, right? I could go down. I could go to the Verizon store right now and just get a new phone and change my number, right?
Is that how that works?
I don't know.
Or is it more like Social Security?
I'm asking because the penalty extending beyond everybody's having some maniac out there still has my phone number and is going to be texting me 6 years from now. No thanks. I don't need that. But I'm wondering how easily you can replace get a new phone number. Because I don't know. I haven't had to. My kids got new phone numbers, but they got new phones. When they got phones the first time, obviously you got a new number. I just don't know how hard it is to change. I've had the same company and the same number for, again, I think since cell phones were basically invented. I had one through work for a while. I had a pager at one time through work, by the way. Remember those? Remember pagers?
I don't personally because it never.
I had a pager. Hey, the Sabres made a trade. Call me. Okay. Anyway, I'm just not sure I'd want my phone number on a billboard. But that's just me. But I get it. It's no gotta eat 24 hours in the Waffle House. Speaking of going to games, you ever hear this one? Mike told me about this. It was, do you remember the overtime game at the end of the Rex era? The Christmas Eve Bills Dolphins game, they went to overtime. The loser of a fantasy league that I don't know if Mike was in the league or if these were just people he knew. Whoever lost that year in fantasy had to go to that Bills game and wait. Again, this is the height of the drought. Okay, so not the height, it's the end of the drought.
It's the end of it. Yeah,
but still, it's.
There's no, yeah, they're at the end, but it's still in it.
Yeah. Rex Ryan is your coach.
Right.
You're not exactly, Josh Allen's not here yet, right? Uh-huh. So you had to go to that game and take a selfie or have someone take a picture of you with the clock showing zeros on it. So you had to stay for the whole, on Christmas Eve, stay for a meaningless Bills Dolphins game and get the clock zeros. And that game went to overtime and used up almost all of the overtime too. That was a tough one, I would say.
I don't remember that game. 2014?
Tyrod Taylor. No, 20, it's Rex. So is that 16? Yeah. The end, 15 or 16. The end of the season. It's a Miami game and Rex doesn't know that they in order to stay alive, they need to win it. He's sort of playing for a tie. Do you remember this? Does this ring a bell now at all?
A little bit.
I'd have to look for the year. I think it's the year maybe it's his first year here, and then he got fired. Either way, it's Rex.
Yes, it would have been his first year because he would have been the last two games of the year they had a interim head coach.
Interim coach, okay.
So, yeah, it would have been year one.
15 then.
Yes.
Okay.
Ugh.
Right.
Think about that.
That's a tough one. All right. Frank is first up. Thanks for sitting through all that, Frank. Frank is first up this segment here on WGR. Thanks for calling. You're on the air.
No problem. Thanks, guys. Also honored to be on the air with Nate here. I'm just wondering, I'm getting really shades of Marcel Darius here with the whole James Cook situation. And we all know how that went. The relationship soured, seems like shortly right after he got paid. He says, I think they don't want, I think he said something like, they don't want me or something. But I truly believe that we need to really hang on to James Cook just for the explosive plays alone. It seems like we didn't have much after the initial James Cook. Where James Cook play, and then we follow it up with, maybe a third down play from Davis or something. But it just didn't seem to register the same as the James Cook play would, and I'm really scared for next season. And also, before I go, I want to leave a quote. So maybe for Nate Geary to probably say, "That's some high quality H2O after every good play," even though it's a 30-year-old reference by now.
That's a Waterboy reference. I love it, Frank. Thanks for throwing that right in Bulldog's face. He looked at me blank eyes. No rise out of him.
I'm still trying to figure out what the hell the connection between James Cook and Marcel Darius is. Honestly,
yeah.
That's what I'm struggling from the point of inception of the call here.
I when they paid Marcel, it all came crashing to the ground. But there were kind of signs before that they were also a desperate franchise who could not lose him.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's a bad example.
Yeah, it's a very different time.
It's a reach.
Yeah. I mean, very different positions, too.
Yes.
But, yeah, the warnings, like Darius, there were stories that, you know, of course, we hear it all about it after, right? But, you know, it's late for meetings, sleeping, different things. Look, I'm not against sleeping, but, like, at work time, probably bad. Like, I love a good nap, but right now would be a bad time for me to take a nap because we're in the middle of work. And Darius had that reputation, I think, even before they paid him. And so that was, yeah, that's a desperate team with a high pick that they're looking to make into a success story. Like, look, we got him a second contract because he's so good. We picked him. Aren't we awesome? And, yeah, the Bills are vastly different in how they operate at this point. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know if the caller's worried that James Cook is going to get paid and then not stop trying or something. One thing that I think is maybe easy to get lost in all the conversation about him and the noise he's already made here early this offseason about getting paid and wanting the contract, $15 million annual average value. I mean, good luck to you. I do think it looks, at least from the distance I'm viewing it from, like that's a dude that really dug in between year two and year three. I think that there was a stronger guy. I think there was a more explosive guy. I think right from the beginning of this year, you saw him getting around the edge on plays that I think his first 2 years in the league, I would not have expected him to win, like getting out there. So I think there was work done, footwork, like work on footwork and foot speed
yep.
and explosiveness and different things. And, you know, look, it's not overhauling your quarterback mechanics like Josh Allen did between year two and year three, but it is something. You know, I mean, you're in the NFL, you're a starting caliber running back, you're coming off a 1,000-yard season. James Cook could have just, like, I'm all set over here.
Yeah, could have coasted into the season.
And I think he dug in. So I want to respect that to an extent. I guess I would say I want to reward that, but just, you know, within reason. But I'm not worried about motivation. I would just more worry about value.
Well, I'm glad you got to the value of it, because we had this conversation for like 5 minutes off air yesterday as we were getting ready to get out of here. And I said to you, you know, $15 million a year, you know, that is the 27th highest paid wide receiver in the league right now because of how depreciated the value of running backs mm-hmm. got. It hit its floor. And now it's bouncing back.
Right.
Like, you know, if it's a stock, it plummeted, it got to the bottom, and now it's recovering. And that's where the running back position is right now. And yet, at $15 million, everyone's like, $15 million? Oh, my God, for a running back. We've gone so far in the other direction of value that the 27th highest paid wide receiver in football today, right now, making $15 million a year, is Tyler Lockett. Would you spend $15 million a year on a player like Tyler Lockett right now? I don't think so, but that's the going rate for a wide receiver that is very middle of the pack.
Well, at least it was when he got his contract.
Sure.
Like the timing matters.
Actually,
there, but
middle
still,
of the pack, I mean, 27th nope. running back
right.
is making like $800,000.
Right, I wouldn't be surprised if Ty Johnson were the 27th right. highest paid running back in the league. I don't know that he is, but I mean, it wouldn't surprise me.
I think that also has to be part of the conversation. It's not just to me, well, I have to fit $15 million on the books. This is hard. The math isn't mathing on, you know, mm-hmm. SpotTrack or something. But like, I also believe that if you've got a great running back, if you have a top five running back, and you sign, let's say they sign him this year and it's $14.5 million. That's what they agree to. In 2 years, where I think contracts are now kind of bouncing back, Bijan Robinson, he's going to make a lot of money in a couple years. The Gentry kid, the kid from Boise State that's going to be drafted this year, he's going to make a bunch of money in a couple years if he's really good.
Jahmyr Gibbs is probably going to get paid.
Jahmyr Gibbs is going to get paid.
I mean, he was a first-round pick, so he's got a little more time than we have
but
here.
But my point is, I think in 3 and 4 years' time, when that contract is in the meat and potatoes of it, I don't think we're going to look at it and say, this is a terrible contract. But I get it. It's relative to what your roster construction is. And, you know, some teams, the Bills are not, barring some big fundamental shift, the Bills are not going to be paying $30 million to a receiver. So 15 to a running back, That's not the equivalent of 30 to me to a wide receiver. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I do. It really comes down to me how much does the position depend on everyone else. The receiver obviously depends on the quarterback. So if I've got a quarterback, I want to spend on receiver. If I've got a great offensive line, don't I want to just plug in a running back on a rookie contract and to an extent assume how much different are the Philadelphia Eagles if David Montgomery is their running back instead of Saquon Barkley this year? It's not all the stories. It's not, you know, everybody's not dunking on Joe Shane and the Giants. But, like, on the field, how much different is it? Like, does he get 1,500 yards to the almost 2,000 that Barkley got? And how much does that change the Eagles' season?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I feel like I've been arguing for almost 20 years. Probably not a lot.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah.
What is it? Smart money, period. Like, sure, the way the Bills are built right now and with everybody eats, I agree. I think I want to find more and different kinds of receivers, but I'm not terribly interested in a DK Metcalf trade right now or any $30 million wide receiver trade like I was after almost immediately after the Bills traded Diggs. But I still don't know that tying up that kind of cap space on a running back, I still think the position is what it's been, which is replaceable. Mm-hmm. The tide is turning. It's changing. That doesn't make it right.
It's replaceable in like, is James Cook replaceable? I think Ty Johnson. I think Ray Davis. I think Raheem Mostert. I think... You know, maybe give me a better example of a better running back that's not quite the group of like five or six, mm-hmm. but that are just right outside of it. I think there's a lot of replaceable guys at the position. I think there's a small number of players that, unless you're bad, and I think that might be part of this conversation, is he's replaceable to the Giants because the Giants aren't good.
Right.
So a running back doesn't matter to them. But when you are good... A good running back can and has proven this year in multiple instances, Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley dramatically change those teams because they're good. If Derrick Henry is in Tennessee, which he was, doesn't matter. But when you're good, a really good running back does have maybe more value. So are running backs replaceable? I think most are. I think James Cook is broaching the... If the Bills moved off James Cook this year and got somebody else in the draft, there's not a guarantee he's going to step in and emulate mm-hmm. that production. So I think he has a unique skill set to the league, that he's fast and he's a big play threat of the backfield. He can catch. He can do a bunch of things. He's proven to be a more physical runner this year. He's added that element. He is, to me, in the group of five or six players that on good teams aren't as replaceable as I think a lot of running backs are on bad teams.
803-0550 is the number. Nate Geary in for Mike. I'm the Bulldog. This is WGR. All right, grooving along here on a Wednesday. Nate Geary in for Mike. I'm the Bulldog. Mike is first up this segment. Hi, Mike. Thanks for calling. You're on WGR.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Really well. Thanks.
Excellent. So I've been listening in on the previous segment about James Cook. I've also been watching social media a lot and a lot of mixed reviews about how we should just let him go, and people are comparing him to Diggs and that he's like a diva, which I think is absolutely ridiculous. I'm just going to sum it up real quick. I think he had an outstanding year last year. I think he's one of the most versatile backs out there. I think you get a kind of two-for-one deal with the wide receiver component because he's a great catching back. And I think we should pay the guy his money. I don't necessarily think it's got to be 15. It should be negotiated, and I have all the faith in Bean to get it done. But I think we're in a bigger hole if we let a guy like James Cook go as opposed to trying to get a deal done with him and then picking up some other spots in the draft, because we've seen what Josh can do with any wide receiver that puts on a Bills uniform. That's all I got to say. God bless. Go Bills. Have a great week.
All right, Mike, thank you for the call. Yeah, there's no way to find your way faster to the doghouse, the outhouse. Chickens come home to roost with a fan base on a guy than when the guy says, I want to be paid what I'm worth. I mean, it's like, it's not fans across the board. Mike, I'm glad you're out there, and I'm glad you called to stick up. I don't want to pay him $15 million, but I also don't want to cut him.
Nope.
Because he is making noise about wanting to get paid. Like, I have felt, even though I champion the running backs don't matter, don't draft them high, don't give them second contracts, I have felt awful about it. Like, it's one of these things that I believe to be true that makes me feel terrible for the dudes.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
they,
right.
They play one of the hardest position you could possibly play. It doesn't have the challenges playing quarterback plays, and but like from a collision, from physical standpoint, it is one of the toughest positions to play, and it has been very tough. I grew up in an era when the running backs were like the stars of the teams. You know, as the show ever sounded older, I mean, I go back. That was the marquee position in the sport for a long time, and it's been usurped by quarterbacks and receivers and corners and edge rushers because of the passing game being such a dynamic part of the game now. I have felt horrible for running backs. And so, yeah, I want to find some middle ground in here with James Cook. But I've never felt good about making the case that I make. It just simply is something that I believe to be true, so therefore I'll say it repeatedly because, you know, I'm not going to just, well, I like running backs and I feel bad for them, so they should all get paid.
I do think, though, that if you're a running back, you do have to kind of get ahead of this stuff.
Yeah, right.
More than any other position.
Yes. Well, that's what
you have to.
That's exactly, and that's what Cook is doing.
He's trying to strike while the iron's hot.
I agree. You get hearts and minds.
Yep.
Right.
Right.
I'm just worried about negotiating an extension with him off of that year. Right. Mm. If there's a way that I can get to next offseason, I know he'll be going into a walk year, and like I run a risk and all that. But I don't know, man. I'm buying at the ultimate high right now. If I'm signing him. And I'm not sure that that's the smartest decision, which is probably part of the reason why he's hearts and minds. He's trying to win you over to the idea that he warrants being paid because, you know, who knows? Maybe they won't want to do it now. Let's take a break. Come back. More of this conversation on the other side here on WGR.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.